All right, everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive with us?
Always excited to dig into some new linguistic territory.
Well, today we're going to focus on something you use literally every single day, probably without even thinking about it.
Intrigued. Let's hear it.
We're talking fricatives.
Oh, those are fun. Those consonant sounds that give our language a little extra oomph.
Exactly. And you know me, I love a good oomph.
Indeed. And you know, there's so much more to these seemingly simple sounds than meets the eye. They've really played a major role in how languages have evolved.
That's right. And I actually have a whole bunch of articles here and a video all about fricatives.
And honestly, even I'm learning some really cool stuff.
Well, then let's dive in. Where should we start?
Well, first things first, how can we even begin to like break down these sounds? I mean, they seem pretty straightforward at first glance.
Well, you know, that's where the International Phonetic Alphabet comes in. You know, the IPA.
Right, right. It's that handy dandy system that assigns a unique symbol to each sound in human speech. And it doesn't matter what language you're talking about.
So instead of having to deal with all the different spellings from different languages.
Exactly. We have a consistent way to represent the sounds themselves. Think about it. You know, the letter C can sound like an S or a K, depending on the word.
Yeah, that always throws me off.
But with the IPA, there's no confusion. Each sound gets its own special symbol.
Okay, so that makes sense. But how does the IPA actually help us understand something like fricatives?
Well, remember, fricatives get their name from the friction created when air is forced through a narrow passage in your vocal tract.
So it's like when you say F or sh.
Precisely. The IPA has specific symbols for each fricative, which lets us really get into the nitty-gritty of their pronunciation. For example, we can see the difference between a voiceless F, like in fan, and a voiced V, like in van.
Oh, wow.
They're both fricatives, but they have distinct symbols in the IPA because one uses our vocal cords and the other doesn't.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
I honestly never thought about F and V being so closely related, yet different in that way. And you know what else? This video we have actually does a really great job of showing how these sounds are made. It's almost like watching a mini documentary of your own mouth in action.
It really is fascinating to see how all those tiny movements of your tongue and lips come together to create these sounds.
And the video highlights a bunch of other really interesting fricatives too, like the D sounds both voice and voiceless, like in this and think.
Ah, yes. Those can be tricky for language learners.
And of course, you can't forget the S and Z sounds, sibilants. They're everywhere.
True. Those are like the superstars of fricatives.
And there's the sh. Sound.
That's crazy.
It's a personal favorite for lullabies and, you know, keeping things quiet.
Very versatile, that shh sound.
It is. You know, it's kind of amazing how we just produce these sounds without even thinking about the mechanics behind them.
Well, for sure. It's an incredible testament to the complexity of human speech.
Ooh. And remember that Z sound we saw in the video? The one in vision. What's the deal with that one?
Ah, yes, the Z sound. It's what we call a palato-alveolar fricative. And it's made by placing your tongue near the ridge just behind your teeth.
You know that one doesn't have its own letter in English.
It's true. It often pops up in words we've borrowed from French, like measure or treasure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So we've learned all about these fricatives and seen how they're made. But why does this all matter for someone who's not, you know, a linguist or a speech therapist?
That's a great question, and there are actually several reasons. First off, if you're learning a new language, knowing how to make these sounds correctly can really help you nail the pronunciation, and that obviously helps with being understood.
Makes sense.
And even within English, understanding the subtle differences between fricatives can help you pick up on those regional accents and dialects.
Oh, so like the difference between a Boston accent and a Southern drawl.
Precisely. And then for anyone interested in things like public speaking or singing, mastering these sounds can add real clarity and precision to your voice.
It's like leveling up your communication skill.
Exactly.
Wow, you've really opened my ears to the world of fricatives. Who knew these seemingly basic sounds had so much depth?
There's always more to discover in the world of language. It's a lifetime of exploration.
Couldn't agree more. So as we wrap things up today, I really want to encourage everyone listening to pay closer attention to the words you use and the sounds you make. Can you identify those F, V, D, S, Z, sh, and yes, even the ZH sounds as you go about your day?
It's a fun little challenge. You might be surprised at what you notice.
I think you're right. And hey, maybe you'll even start to appreciate the nuances of language in a whole new way. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into fricatives.
It's been a pleasure. Until next time.
See you then.